The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. For the gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A little while ago, I went on a cruise, my very first cruise, and I fell in love with cruising. Absolutely love it. Had such a good time. Could spend all day just sitting watching the sea go by. It was magnificent. And they look after you and you don't have to cook or clean or any of those things. And that's fantastic, ladies, isn't it? And for the blokes who do that, fantastic. And what do? When you fall in love with something in this day and age, you look it up on YouTube and you start watching all the videos, so that you can vicariously live out your cruising life with others. And so, I have watched, and there's this phenomenon which comes with cruising, and I don't know if you are a cruise fan at all, but there's a phenomenon that comes with cruising, and it's called peer runners. You know what a peer runner is? Well, if you think about it, a ship docks at a pier, wherever it's going. Sometimes it doesn't do that. Sometimes they come in and out on boats because the ship can't actually get close enough. But normally a ship will dock in the pier and the people will get off and they'll go off and explore wherever they are, and then they come back to the ship before it leaves, hopefully. Now, ships are time-bound. They cannot stay and wait. So there is this phenomenon of all these, of the people who are running a little late for their ship. And there are these wonderful videos of pier runners and people running down the pier and they're dropping their stuff and picking it up and run, wait for me, and they're losing their thongs and they're running in their bathers because they didn't get time to get dressed, all that sort of stuff. They're rushing down the pier because they know darn well and that ship is not going to wait, and the guys are out there, the crew are out there, and they're taking a rope off and watching, and taking another rope off and watching, and taking another rope off and watching, and the captain's up there. When he blows that horn, you're done. Up comes the gangway and you're left. Done. And then, of course, your only opportunity for dealing with this is either, hopefully you've got your passport with you, either you work out how to go home or you work out how to get to the next port before the ship gets there so that you can get back on, which they will allow you to do so long as you've got your cruise card and some ID. Pier runners haven't prepared. See, ships run on a particular timing. And as I say, if you get off at 7 a.m. and they want you back at 4 p.m., you need to be back at 4 p.m. But the thing that we don't always notice, and people who are first-time cruisers have trouble with sometimes, is that is 4 p.m. ship time. And your ship may not be on the same time as the people on the shore. So traps for young players, you set your watch to ship time, because your phone will change the time for wherever you are, won't it? And if you're running on ship time, you're fine. But if you're running on land time, you may find that those two don't match up. So ship time is when you leave, not land time. And of course, if you are going to go ashore, you need to prepare what you're doing. And if you're going to get up, go ashore and go everywhere and look at things, you're going to take a taxi, or maybe you'll take an Uber, or maybe you'll get on one of those free buses that takes you all over the place and you look at everything, or maybe you'll go for a nice long walk, or maybe you'll take a tour and organise a tour. And that's all good so long as you make sure to prepare to get back in that taxi, on that bus, or back in the tour bus that's taking you in time to be back at the pier. And if you don't do those things, well, things are going to get a little sticky. Hezekiah was a preparer. He was very good at preparing. Hezekiah is the king of the time of Isaiah in Isaiah 40, which we read today. And Hezekiah understood preparedness was very important, because there were always going to be powers and dominions that wanted to take over Israel, because it's in a good spot. It's right between, it's in the trade route. And if you control the trade route, you control the trade. And so the Assyrians were coming. They knew they would come. They were conquering all over the place. And Hezekiah knew that the water sources for Jerusalem were not secure. Now, the water source for Jerusalem had some security around it, but you got to it by going down steps outside the city to get your water, and then you took your water back up to the city. Now, if the water source is outside the walls, you're vulnerable. So Hezekiah, about 800 years before Jesus, Hezekiah decided to build a tunnel. And he got one group of men building from this end and another from that end. And they dug with hand picks, because we're talking 800 BC here, underground. And believe it or not, they managed to meet up in the middle. Exactly. These days they can't even do that. Did you see them not trying to get the channel channel tunnel and they were out about this much and it didn't work. They actually managed to meet up in the middle and they put this tunnel there. Now, Hezekiah's tunnel is still there. And if you go to Jerusalem, you can actually walk Hezekiah's tunnel. I've done that. Kevin's done that. You get your feet wet, of course, because you're walking in the water. And sometimes you can't do it because if things are in flood, things are just a little too high. But the fact is that by doing that, Hezekiah set them up. So then the Assyrians did come, and Sennacherib, the guy who was the one who was leading the Assyrian army, he turned up, and they'd already obliterated northern Israel, taken them all off into captivity. So around about 789, Sennacherib arrives at Jerusalem. But Hezekiah has prepared, and Sennacherib doesn't get the water supply. And Hezekiah within Jerusalem knows at least his people have water if they're going to be under siege. It's sea legs. Oh. more sleep, less YouTube. Hezekiah realized that. And this comes after this. What happened was Sennacherib came, he made all his threats. Hezekiah was also prepared in his heart. He followed the Lord. And instead of getting up there and getting afraid and not knowing what else to do, he went straight to the Lord, laid it out before him and said, there's a whole lot of them and there's only a few of us and we can't do this. And God stepped in. There was never a shot fired. God made sure that Sennacherib got called back to Assyria. And, of course, when he got back to Assyria, somebody wanted his position and bumped him off. But then Hezekiah didn't quite follow through because after this along came some Babylonians and they wanted to see everything and Hezekiah showed them everything. And all the gold and all the silver and all the stores and all the wonderful stuff that he had. Because, you know, when kings are really doing well, they tend to get big heads and I think he just wanted to show off. And so he showed them everything. And off they went back to Babylon. And it took a couple of hundred years, but they turned up to take all of that. And when they took all of that, they also took the people and they sacked the temple and razed it to the ground and took people off into exile. Now, when you've got an invading force coming, you want to put something in the way. So part of your preparedness is to go out there, and what they used to do in those times was they would raise up mounds of dirt so that it was hard for the army to get through. And they would dig trenches and make valleys in the roads so that water could go in there so that they would have to get through mud. And they would get all the stones, every stone they could find, and they would throw it on the road and put it all on the roads so that they were hard for an army to march down. Anything to get in the way. But when the king went out to war and was coming back from war victorious, they would raise up the valleys and put the dirt back into them, and they would bring down the mounds and make the road flat, and they would take all those stones and put them back where they came from, and the valleys would be lifted and the mountains would be brought down and the stones would be removed and the way for the king would be prepared. So Isaiah, after the Babylonians have turned up and taken the people into exile, and the people are in a place of real fear, speak to them of comfort. And he says, your king will come. And he says to them, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. And every mountain and hill be made low. And uneven ground shall become level. and the rough places a plain. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. About 500 odd years later, out in the wilderness of Judea, there is a man in his camel shirt with his leather belt named John. And John says, you have to get prepared because that is happening. Prepare the way for the Lord. And the fulfillment of this is the great shepherd of the sheep coming. And what did Isaiah say? He said, see, the Lord comes with might and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the mother sheep. The fulfillment John proclaims 500 years later. And the one who will come after me, he says, I'm baptizing you with water. I'm just getting you organized. Prepare your hearts. Repent. Believe. Come. Be washed clean with water. Come and be baptized. Repent. Bring your heart to the Lord and bring your sins to the Lord and ask for forgiveness so that you are ready, because the fulfillment is here. And there is one who is coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. And he will baptize you with Holy Spirit. That's Jesus. Yeah. Preparedness for his coming is in John. And John is the fulfillment of that voice crying in the wilderness. And the people knew this, and they understood it, and they recognized the signs, and they understood they needed to come. And so droves and droves of them came from all over the country to be baptized by John, because here he was, a voice calling in the wilderness, and they knew Isaiah 40, and this is the comfort of the people of God. And they know Messiah is coming. And he was right there. John's cousin. We are called to be always prepared because Jesus comes. Advent is a time of preparedness because Jesus is coming back. We have to have all of our things ready. We need to know when we have to be back, and we need to know what we have to do. We need to make sure that we've got our journey organized. But we have one problem. We don't know what ship time is. In order to avoid being a pier runner, what is ship time? Well, we don't know. When you don't know what ship time is, you get back a little early. And you prepare and make sure you're there. And you make sure that you are following through on the things you need to do, don't you? And you know what? There is one thing that guarantees you will not miss the ship. And you know what that is? Go on a ship-organized excursion. If you're on the ship-organized excursion, the ship will wait for you. It is guaranteed. Even if you're late, they will wait because the ship organized it. And they guarantee they will wait for you. We are on a ship-organized excursion. We don't need to know what ship time is. We just need to be on the excursion with the one who does know when to be back. And our captain is waiting for us. And the beauty of this is, the comfort of this is, the hope of this is, that it does not matter if we don't know what time it is. We are already in that place where we are going to be on time, because he will not be late. And the thing about that is we need to invite a whole lot of other people onto this ship excursion, because they also need to be back in time. Because our captain does not want to leave anybody behind. And it doesn't matter who they are or where they come from or what colour or race or anything else that they are, he wants to bring them with him. God's not into peer runners. Because on the day and the hour, there will be no time left. We need to be God's people out in that city, inviting people on our excursion. And when he comes to each one, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with his fire, and he equips us to do exactly that, to bring the kingdom where we are, because he is God within. Emmanuel. We celebrate this at Christmas. We look forward to it in Advent. We celebrate it at Christmas. And we look forward to the day when we are all with our captain on our ship. And we have that which he has promised since the beginning of time, that we will be with him and he will be our God. Comfort. Comfort my people, says the Lord, because I have heard her. I have heard him. I have heard you all. And I am your shepherd.